Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone crocus bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spike me. Me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike.
Talking Heads with Nancy is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
Plus me and the Cuban a link up. Rose gold so the Cuban link up. How much ice just a her and the rings up. From what day you may find out.
The Wednesday, June 5th edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. And of course, you know, Pearlie will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. But today is Wednesday. My special guest coming up on the flip side of the break. We'll have another candid conversation with him. Newly returned chairman of the FNM, Dr. Duane Sands. We'll talk a little bit of the convention. We'll talk about the future plans of the FNM. And, of course, you know the lines will be open, so you know how to chime in. Here in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll-free in anyone at the Family Islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC. 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com, that's guardiantalkradio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612, that's how you get it in, that's how you get it on, for fresh news, smart talk, all day, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And of course, you know, MJ will be chiming in, but I will tell you, we got a little technical difficulty going on. The area where she's in, BPL has struck again. So as soon as we work out some coordination, we get MJ to chime in. If not, via the Zoom, via the phone. But it is a fully loaded Wednesday edition, Talking Heads. Yours truly, Naughty, along with Mary Jane, Earl of the Pearl in the 5 o'clock hour, and our special guest, Dr. Duane Sands, coming up on the flip side of the break. FNM Chairman Dr. Duane Sands on the flip side of the break as the Wednesday, June 5th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Flavored Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Flavored Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian spice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Oh man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at kfcnassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, June 5th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. And it's my pleasure to have back on the show, no stranger to the show, but I must say, newly returned chairman of the FNM, Dr. Dwayne Sands. Congratulations, Doc. Welcome back to the show. And, you know, congratulations on your victory at convention.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. I was muted. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to all the delegates who demonstrated their confidence in me, in our leader, in our secretary general, and in all the other. They saw fit to lead this organization into the upcoming general election and beyond.
And I think it's safe to say city season has already begun. I said it was going to start June 2nd, and it appears it has. Lots to talk about, though. I mean, the convention, I think, was well attended. There were no irregularities. There were a lot of things put out, you know, in the news and in social media, but I think all turned out, from all intents and purposes, what I saw, I think it was a well-run convention, and I think the FNM party has spoken, and I think they've made it loud and clear who they want to lead the party and who they want to be the leaders of the party.
Well, we told people to enjoy the 10 or 15 minutes of celebration, and then let's get back to work. I think the middle of the budget exercise, and already it is clear that what this administration is claiming as some game-changing budget is nothing short of a massive national disappointment. It is a disgrace. And so, you know, the Honorable Kwesi Thompson from East Grand Bahama came out with a blistering attack on the government's presentation and pointed out that this is about voodoo economics. I mean, it is razzle-dazzle, lights and mirrors, smoke and mirrors, and nothing burgers left, right, and center.
I think when you look at it, a lot of questions were raised. And at the end of the day, it comes off the paper that says, okay, this is the way forward. This is good. This is going to get us where we need to be. But more taxation seems to be looming without any, you know, visionary approach. A lot of people have texted in with the question, well, what can the FNM do different? What can the FNM do different, Dr. Sands? Will you guys remove VAT once and for all?
Let's start about making it less expensive and easier to do business. Let's talk about cutting out the raised customs fees. Let's talk about, you know, not raiding the National Insurance Fund to use as a slush fund for government projects. Let's talk about being reasonable with the energy sector and the cost of electricity. And let's take VAT off of breadbasket items, medication, and feminine products. That's a start. The other thing that we ought to do is to stop lying to the Bahamian public about things that they are going to do to gift them or give them certain things, when in reality, all they're doing is economic or accounting gymnastics to keep things off the balance sheets so that they don't have to account for it, because our accounting system now allows you to do that. But this is all just accounting gymnastics. And they are leveraging the future, our children's future and our grandchildren's future, purely for politics. And that's why they could promise this $290 million hospital, which don't show up on the balance sheets.
I mean, being in the medical field, Doc, I mean, there were a lot of physicians that spoke out about the feasibility of that building, that complex.
Yeah, but they're not listening, because they need to have something, something shiny and bright to show to the Bahamian people and say, boy, you know, we love you and we can get this for you. Don't mind that you ain't gonna benefit from it going up. Don't mind that you ain't gonna benefit from providing any supplies, lumber, nails, concrete. Sit down and watch these foreign workers come and build this hospital. And then in a couple of years, 3-4 years, you could get to use it. And then you could pay the $290 million. Even though if we had built it on Princess Margaret Hospital property, like we said it, we would, it would only cost you $55 million. But don't worry about that.
Like you say, accounting gymnastics, mathematical gymnastics.
You know, the government said in their legal document, which was the 2022 fiscal strategy report, that in this budget year, they would have a budget surplus of $290 million, give or take, right? And that this was a no wave the hand in the air. This was an official a mandatory government document, right? So how is it now that the prime minister could fix his mouth when he gives the actual budget communication and says, we're not going to have a $287 million surplus. I know we promise you that. We are actually going to have a $69 million deficit. We had no hurricane. We didn't have any COVID. Okay? Ain't no world war. No other natural disasters other than the Davis-Cooper administration spending money left, right, and center, wasting money left, right, and center, giving away $12 million that they had already invested for the central bank, giving away money that they had already spent on the back plans for Princess Margaret Hospital, buying new BMWs and so on and so forth. So you take a 280-something million-dollar surplus that was supposed to happen. The VAT revenue projections are behind by almost 7% year over year. Way behind. And so this government seems to be telling Bahamians, oh, everything is good, don't worry. It's economic growth forecasted to be 5.5%, now forecasted to be 1.1%. And at 1.1%, there will be no jobs for people leaving high school. There will be no jobs for young people trying to get into the employment line. But, you know, they're paying for public relations to tell people that it's going to be, oh, it's going to be wonderful. You just trust us.
All right, let's get to the phone lines real quick. The lines are lit. Text lines blowing up. Talking heads.
Well, how are you doing?
All right.
Hey, Ray, the ox talk for me, right? Okay, we're very good at construction of buildings, right? But my problem is that we had for many of years is maintenance. If we build and when we build the hospital, how we plan on maintaining this building? Second thing, right? I've been eyeballing that contract with Rodney Hart for a while. Ox talk if he can make that happen. Third thing, BPL. What are we planning to do with BPL?
All right, I'll let Doc answer. All right, man, thanks for the call.
So, maintenance. The case in point would be the critical care block at Princess Margaret Hospital, the single largest investment in healthcare ever in the history of the Bahamas, completed and opened in 2015. Already run down, broke up, not maintained, etc. Not even 10 years old, 9 years old and run down already. Air conditioning units not working. Expensive equipment in the operating room, not working, in the labs, not working, in the ICU, not working. Basic fixtures like plumbing and so on and so forth, toilets not working. And that's a 9-year-old, that's a new brand building. And so to the caller's point, yes, we can spend plenty of money, but we don't allocate anything for maintenance. And we do a terrible job of maintaining. As to my good friend, Rodney Munker, and the other violence interrupters, I don't think that they have demonstrated value for the expenditure of the Bahamian people's money.
And now we see that funding in the budget has now been expanded for more consultants.
By $70 million.
I mean, were they getting consultants for the consultant?
Well, I mean, you know, their supporters got to pay, right? So, you know, this administration has demonstrated that if you are in the in of the PLP, then you can be straight. But they have a very difficult time, and the leader, Michael Pintard, made this point eloquently on Saturday night, that for the average Bahamian, the money don't trickle down to them. And they find themselves asking, well, what about me? When this can share out so that I can benefit? Because the average Bahamian is catching HELL. As to the last question about BPL, I think BPL is a disaster. This month, even after they promised that, remember when they said, oh, we're going to temporarily increase the cost of electricity, but don't worry, it'll only be for a period of time, right? And then the cost is going to go down. Well, that hasn't happened. And BPL is finding it hard to keep the lights on. And so, you know, what we need to see as we move into the real summer months, when peak demand is going to go even higher than it is how BPL is going to manage, first, to maintain the service, to keep it clean, so they don't burn up your TV and burn up your microwave and your air conditioner and so on and so forth and your fridge, and keep it at a cost that ordinary Bahamians can afford it without having to pay almost as much as another mortgage. The real difficult part about this administration is that they have created a cost of living crisis, a cost of living crisis, so that the average finds it very difficult to survive and have to make some very tough decisions. Do I eat? Do I buy medication? And now what they're saying is, okay, when you go to license your car, even if you have paid up and you've never missed an insurance renewal in history, now we want you to pay 6 months more before you can license your car, okay? Now, they didn't say we're going to roll this in over a period of a year or two or three. Starting now, when the budget is passed, when you go to license your car, you got to find an additional 6 months of insurance premium. Okay? Now, we understand road safety. We believe that people should not be driving on the road uninsured and unlicensed. But the ordinary Bahamian finds themselves in a situation where they literally have to decide, am I going to eat or am I going to pay all these taxes that this administration is shoving down my throat so that they can travel all over the world and live for his clothes and buy expensive cars?
All right, let's get to the phone lines real quick. We got the lines blowing up again. Talking Heads.
Naughty.
Hey.
You're just naughty by nature.
No, because I hate you. What you got, GNN?
And good afternoon to you guys. You know what's so sad?
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yeah, well, you know what's so sad? PLP in power, F&M blame PLP. F&M in power, F&M blame PLP. I don't know what my boy, I love Dr. Sand, but I don't know what Dr. Sand, they playing the same game again, mind game. Because when Dr. Sand, Sam is there, what they do? All them things, what he talking about, break down the eye machine and all that stuff, all them is break down. All of them is break down under their watch. What are you talking about? You understand? Today, Naughty, could you believe it? the hospital run out of meat from 9 to 80 this morning. The cafeteria closed. The patients can't get nothing to eat because somebody ordered meat for the hospital from 9 to 80 this morning.
Oh my God.
They're in there running around with must be about 30,000 can of tuna trying to get the patient tuna and bread.
But tuna's meat. I mean,
something
I got
wrong
the point, though.
With both governments, man. The two of them do the same thing. You understand? This is bad, man.
I already said, though, you guys that deal with the hospital on a daily, whether it's IVing, chesting, dialysis, so on and so forth, come together and form a block. So do you have a block that's united with a bunch of you guys
I'm
together?
Not
so whenever
the sad thing about
you talk
it
to politicians, you lobby for yourself. Because you have a block united.
Putting it on the PLP, you know. But Dr. Sands is one of the most renowned cardiovascular doctors in the Western Hemisphere. And Dr. Minnis is basically the same in his field. And the two of them was in charge when they were in charge in the hospital waste. But why Dr. Sands and they're opining and blaming this one and blaming that one, man?
I can let him answer because you don't have a part of mansion, so I'll let him get to answer that. All right, Jim?
Yeah, man.
All right, be safe.
Thank you, Mike.
Doc, there you go.
To answer the caller's question about what was done in the last administration, the caller may recall leading up into 2017, you had rolling blackouts around the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And we would have installed, I believe, almost 290 or so megawatts of power generation at Clifton. It was installed by Wärtsilä, and we had the consultants or the maintenance contract being provided by Wärtsilä. Shortly after this administration came in, they canceled or terminated that contract. Many of those engines have now gone offline, and you wonder why that is, since the former company Wärtsilä had a requirement to keep these things up and running as a part of their maintenance contract. And so to see new engines coming into the country, you ask, well, did we waste hundreds of millions of dollars purely because a new administration decided to come in? That's one. Two, I don't think that anybody can say, and I'm being very, very serious, and I've been working in the healthcare system in the Bahamas for 30 years. I retire in 2 months, next month, sorry, that I have seen, that we have seen things as bad as they are now. And that is an honest statement. Whether you're talking about Grand Bahama, whether you're talking about Princess Margaret Hospital, the situation is grim in our public healthcare system. And that's not pointing fingers, that's speaking the truth.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Hey, Naughty, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
Good afternoon, Dr. Sands, and let me congratulate you on your re-election as chairman of the Free National Movement. I hope and pray that you and the leader continue this unstoppable movement into 2025 and win the government. I just listened
to the
presentation for East Grand Bahama, Mr. Crazy Thompson, on the budget debate. And part of his debate was in 2023, the government allocated $181,000 for traveling. They spent $1.5 million in the first 9 months of 2023 for traveling. I just wanted to address that. But Dr. Sands, if I'm in the government, you become the Minister of Health. How do you plan to address, and what are your plans? But not just the Rand Memorial and Freeport Grand Mama, but the medical facilities on the outskirts of Freeport, like East Grand Mama, West Grand Mama. How do you plan to address those areas so that we don't have to all run to the hospital or run to the Rand Memorial for help? Can you answer that, please?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that we have to understand is that, you know, specialist care has to be concentrated. And so in the outlying communities, while you will need excellent primary care and diagnostics tied into those hubs with appropriate technology, you are not going to have a cardiovascular surgeon and an obstetrician and an anesthesiologist in every community on every island in the Bahamas. It's just not going to happen. And so what does that mean? It means that you have to have an efficient network of community facilities tied into with appropriate transportation to the hubs. And those hubs should be the Rand Memorial Hospital redesigned and reconfigured for a climate resilient facility with all of the services required for the people of the Northern Bahamas for the next 30 to 40 years. The Abaco facility bought on stream with all of the diagnostic and therapeutic capacities. So the equipment that was purchased almost 10, 12 years ago that's never been used because we don't have ultrasound techs and radiographers and pharmacists and so on and so forth bought online. Same thing. And potentially, we can look at another hub in the Southern Bahamas. But you've got to connect them with either fixed wing or rotary wing transportation and an adequate supply of well-maintained ambulances for the islands, inclusive of the professionals that support them. So I'm talking emergency medical technicians, paramedics, et cetera. So the healthcare system of the Bahamas is also going to require considerably more Bahamian nurses, considerably more Bahamian pharmacists, Bahamian ultrasonographers, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, et cetera. If you're going to win a championship, you need more than just a quarterback. You've got to have decent wide receivers, running backs, and defensive linemen, safeties, and so on and so forth. Now, you could pick another sport, but at the end of the day, heavily invested in doctors. And we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of doctors, but we got a similar shortage of nurses. And we are running the nurses out of this country every single day because they don't feel appreciated. And so a young nurse will work in the Bahamas for maybe a year or two, and then she's gone. And I say she, it's not only she, there are some male nurses, but not many. But they are getting sucked out into North America and Great Britain and elsewhere, in large part because they feel as if we do not value them at all. And in 2026, when the Free National Movement is the government of the Bahamas, we will address the issue of nursing dissatisfaction in this country.
Doc, let me ask you another question. In relation to the nursing, how many do you think that we're actors? We had a text that came in almost simultaneously. Can you ask Dr. Sands, how many local nurses have we lost, both male and female? Is there a number, is there a statistic?
Well, let me put it to you this way. While we may train a number, and I think the exact number is about 160 and maybe more, I stand to be corrected. Gina Dean is the director of nursing, and I am sure that I can check with her to find out the exact number. But within months of doing their final exam, many of our nurses then take the NCLEX to qualify for a green card to go to the United States. They get their sign-in bonus and they roll out. And so it's a revolving door. And so, notwithstanding the fact that we may train nurses, we don't train enough. When you start talking about you're going to bring in nurses from the Philippines and Africa.
That was my next question, because there's a high, you know, count of foreign nurses in our hospitals now.
So, while we are grateful for their service, and without them, we would not be able to run.
Agreed.
Our ICU, our emergency room, our dialysis unit, and our operating room. The truth of the matter is there are some cultural challenges So when you ask a patient, well, how you doing? And they say to you, I got bad feelings. A Bahamian knows what they mean, okay? I am not sure that somebody that doesn't speak English as their first language understands what that means.
Right.
And so the cultural significance of being cared for by a professional who understands you implicitly cannot be underestimated. All right? And so the idea that here we are, 50 years beyond independence, that we are not self-sufficient in something as basic as nursing,
yeah,
is something that we ought to collectively hang our heads in shame for, because we have taken our eyes off the ball and we have decided that we are going to invest in areas that make the least impact on the quality of care that our people get. I talk about medical apartheid, okay? We believe that if you have insurance or you got money, you entitled, you black, you are not going to get the same level of care, period. And that is in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas today.
All right, let's get to the phone lines again. Talking Heads.
Two more questions for Dr. Leaf.
Okay.
One, because of these superstorms we seem to be having every year, right? How, if elected, Doc plan on dealing with another Dorian? And number two, the crime. Because I am not really affected by crime, but the fear of crime is basically higher than the crime itself. So how we plan on dealing with the crime situation that's going on in the Bahamas?
All right, thanks.
That's a very, very important question. And I think we have to sweat the small stuff. We have allowed a culture of criminality to creep into our country. And it's a culture of criminality that starts at the top. So when your government says that we don't need to follow the laws, we don't need to follow the Procurement Act, we don't need to follow the rules, because, you know, the rules apply to, you know, other people, not to us, then the ordinary citizen looks on and say, well, if they don't have to do it, then why do I? Okay, so I don't know. I don't need to license my car. I don't need to pay customs duty. I could tip the person at the Ministry of Works to get my occupancy certificate and so on and so forth. And if you do not believe that that is connected to violent crime, then you are kidding yourself. Because you have just changed people's perception of the rule of law. And the rule of law, I'm sorry, even though we talk it, is questionable in the Bahamas. The pirates have not left. Woods Rogers said he came and the pirates have been driven out, commerce is restored. Woods Rogers was a liar. The pirate's still here. Job is going to be to demonstrate that, there cannot be the duplicity that we have to get the country to recognize that, you know, without fear or favor, that we are going to enforce all of the laws, comply with the laws. The government will set the standard, and the expectation will be that we all will do the same. It also means that we have to look beyond policing, that the faith-based community will have to play its role, that we have to acknowledge the challenge with parenting. I've been speaking a lot about the role of healthy nutrition in violence. So when you're eating noodles and drinking soda and got sugar coming out your ears, you shouldn't be surprised that your children are carrying on like wild animals. But I cannot afford to give my children healthy fruit and vegetables and healthy meals. And that's exactly the point. Why do you have VAT on breadbasket items? Because what you're basically saying to people, since a belly full is a belly full, We are going to make it so that you cannot afford healthy food. So you got to feed your churn ramen noodles and hot dog.
All right, Doug, I got a couple of texts for you.
Go ahead.
Naughty, great show as usual. Can you ask Dr. Sands if they were exaggerating possibly about the surplus back then, or are they just spending the would-be surplus money poorly now?
I believe that they have overpromised and underdelivered. And so this administration, which is now cash-strapped, is flamming the public into believing that all is well, even though indications are that they cannot pay their bills on time. In the payment of vendors, they are not paying some of their reservists and other people on time. They are yet to pay pensions due to the police reserve, for instance, who have given impeccable service, outstanding service to this nation, and yet they're made to feel like second-class citizens, eh? You look at all of the trade unions now who are saying, hey, but, you know, we came up with an agreement, we had a deal, and you're reneging on this deal now. What's up with that? So this administration, having blown through pissing through, but let me use parliamentary language, by spending wastefully the people's tax money. They spend this money like it's their money, okay? Now finds that, hey, the revenue ain't revenuing, and they are having a hard time meeting their targets. And so now they happen to tax people even more and more and more as the economy has slowed down from, like I say, 5.5% projected to 1.1%. And they're finding that they're trying to squeeze tax dollars out of a rock because people just don't have it.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Naughty, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dr. Chow.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I have a question, okay? My question is, once the government gets back in, right? What are they going to do in reference to? Because I always have this concern when it starts to relate to the, like the Attorney General should be for independent person. Reasons, for lots of reasons, okay? And another thing again, before I make this statement, I'm going to say that I did again, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, I
did. I voted more for the FNM. As a matter of fact, I was 31 in my life. That was in St. Barnabas for Dr. Martin Rose. That was years ago. I am saying here now, the Bahamian people, they are not the same. We've woken up, eyes open, very alert, right? I remember when the PLP came in, I think they do something like a MOU or something like that with the union. Because sometimes you say things now, and then once you get in, you see something totally different, okay? How are you going to fix the Michelle rectify? Is it going to fix it when missing? Like how the Obama file went missing? What are we going to do for that? That's part of the fact or whatever. How are we going to fix that? How are we going to address these things, what we see that our eyes, you know, we in the public see happen, and we are wondering if it's fair for, because that, nothing come out of that, is any situation, and then we stand by and we watch other poor, broken persons, like other behemoths who go through our court system for the smaller amount, and they, you know, they meant to pay, when these other people just, you know, so what we, you know, so you could address the Attorney General Bingham, and is that going to change? Thank you.
All right.
You know, I want to thank you for your questions. You know, one of the things that you made very clear is that the Bahamian electorate of 2024 is more mature, they have discernment, okay? And you can't flam them with pretty words and fancy graphics and shiny brochures. You know, this administration believes to keep them fed and keep them drunk and everything cool, right? They are going to get a phenomenal wake-up call whenever they decide to call election. I understand they plan on calling election early. And the idea is that, oh, you know, the F&M off balance with this big fight, and they ain't gonna be ready. So we can spend a bunch of money that we don't have now, get people feeling good, and we're gonna have an election, maybe even in 2025, with the hopes that we can hoodwink or bamboozle the public. It ain't go so. I believe that what Bahamians want now is the ability to participate in the economy, to believe that their children have a fair and reasonable chance of owning a piece of this rock, and also to get a decent quality education. I think that people who pay $2,500 per person per year for healthcare ought to get decent healthcare. We pay more for healthcare than most people in 90% of the countries in the world. Okay? We pay more for electricity than 90% of people in the world. And look at what we get. Okay? So what I think Bahamians want is a reasonable return on their money and a participation in the economy, as opposed to an economy that they perceive is for the wealthy foreigner and the not so wealthy foreigner.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Nutty.
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on? And good afternoon to Dr. Dwayne Sands, and congratulations on the return of the chairmanship.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Now, in the leader's speech, he touched a lot on cronyism and patronism. And I talked to Jawaharlal about it before, but Travis Robertson touched on it early on the show about 12 former permanent secretaries coming back. And then we bring back a controller, road traffic, and all of that. And I was talking about on the Wagolang show about an undersecretary or assistant secretary moving up to be the permanent secretary. Now, Michael Bindar touched on that a lot, about the ministry is full up with campaign generals, and generals is working on the campaign. How are we sure that Michael Bindar is not only paying lip service to that? What is your intention on that? Promoting Bahamians, where he can still be on the job for 30, 40 years, and then they bring in a retired permanent secretary, and being on the job for 40 years, make up all the money, get his retirement pay and everything, national insurance, double dipping, and everything like that. And then the man, the undersecretary, being there for 30 years, he got all the experience, all the permanent secretary, all the deputy permanent secretary or assistant, they get to move up in the position. And we see it happen on both sides. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it, on F&M and PLP side. How are we sure, in the future coming up, how he's going to balance catering to cronies and supporters without getting them angry? I can't feel for you, man. I walk door-to-door to host with you, and you give the other person the job. I leave in the F&M, man. I doing this. So how you please everybody? I hang up and listen.
So, and I am being... I am mindful of the fact that IRCA is monitoring this station, and that anything I say must be responsible, okay? The Progressive Liberal Party has an approach, and their chairman says it quite often, the dividends, and to retain power. And they will do whatever they believe is necessary to stay in power. And so if they have to stack the decks of the ministries with their people, they will do so, as they have done. Whether it means now that they stop the upward mobility of civil servants in the undersecretary or assistant secretary level or the deputy permanent secretary level, well, too bad, because we can put our people there who we know we can control, who will not question the political directorate. You see, the civil service was intended to be a check on the government, and in particular, a check on the executive. No minister, you could tell me or you could direct me to do that. You could go to you know where. You could go to hell. I am not doing it because that is illegal, that is inappropriate, etc. What if you are now a senior civil servant who has gotten a secret award from the government that from our money, what that dollar amount was? Was it 100,000, 100 million, 10 million, right? Did they pay you for your pain and suffering, or did they pay you so that you would look the other way when asked to do something that might not smell pass the sniff test. And we don't have one, we have multiple civil servants like that, one of whom is a natural disgrace in the office of the Ministry of Finance.
Well, we got to get to the news, Doc, so I want you to hold that thought. We could go over for a couple of minutes. I got a couple of calls, some more texts, but I do want to address that situation in the Ministry of Finance. I do want to address the Freedom of Information Act, and I do want to address a couple of things as far as the youth and the elderly in the country. So if you got a couple of minutes, I'd appreciate it if we could go over just a couple more minutes.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, let's get to the news. Flip side of the news. We'll continue our conversation with F&M Chairman Dr. Duane Sands as the Wednesday, June 5th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Crispy Chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your pizza sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Nice to meet you, Jazz. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an independent 27-year-old manager who wants her own home with her own rules.
Sounds good. I'll help you get there.
We see you, the go-getter, with big plans. And we've been keeping you in mind. Follow your goal home with a mortgage from CIBC Caribbean. And don't bother about your home insurance, as we'll help with that and more. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/inspired home for more info. Conditions apply.
Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, June 5th edition of Talking Heads. Dr. Duane Sands, F&M Chairman Dr. Duane Sands, my special guest. We're going to go over a couple of minutes. Caller, I see you. We'll get to you in a second. Let's get to the text lines real quick. And Dr. Sands, I appreciate you going over again. I got one for you off the text lines. Naughty Fox Hill MP and PLP Chairman Fred Mitchell said in the House this morning during the budget debate that Bahamians should ask themselves if they're better off today than they were 2.5 years ago. His spin, I guess, on that famous Ronald Reagan campaign question. How would you respond to that? Are most Bahamians better off today, Dr. Sands?
I think that almost without exceptions, from the poorest of the poor to the wealthiest of the wealthy will say, no, I am not. This administration has expanded the size of the working poor. So, yeah, people are working, and they may be carrying home a couple dollars more at the beginning when they get their paycheck. But with all of the taxes and additional assessments and levies and charges and surcharges, when they go to reach in their pocket, all they got is a couple cents. And so, no, I do not believe that Bahamians would answer that question, that they are better off now than they were 2.5 years ago. And I don't care how many spin doctors you have telling people that, oh, you should feel better because A, B, C, D. No, don't go so. It really doesn't go so.
All right, let's get to the text lines. Naughty, can Dr. Sanz address the Freedom of Information Act? And I was going to bring that up. Once again, how important to the FNM is the Freedom of Information Act? How important is it to a Michael Pintard-led FNM?
So let me start with an apology that, you know, in the previous administration, we had made that promise and we did not deliver. And, you know, we like to say in the FNM, we deliver. This administration, clearly they on that run, the chairman has said it, they don't believe in freedom of information. A Michael Pintard led FNM will ensure that the freedom of information is not only enacted, but enabled and funded, so that you can find out what's happening with your money. So you can find out, according to the statutes and to the limitations, you know, we're not talking about the implications, right? But there are certain basic things that you should be able to find out in most countries, because you are the one paying the bill. You're the boss. So, you know, why is it that the majority of contracts given out in this country now are no-bid contracts for tens, hundreds of millions of dollars? Why is it that only a select few people being made millionaires in this country? Why is it that the same names keep coming back over and over and over? So freedom of information enacted, enabled, and funded will be one of the hallmark achievements of Prime Minister Pintard.
All right. Here's another one for you off the text lines. Naughty, great show as usual. Can you ask Dr. Sanz, just let Dr. Sanz know he is one of the few politicians that actually answers the public questions, that answers the questions that the public ask him. Please keep up the good work, Doc. Don't stop.
Thank you.
Dr. Sanz is correct. Vendors are not being paid by the government. However, vendors are expected to pay the government VAT on the bills, inclusive of VAT. They are not paying.
I think the vendors are being asked to carry accounts receivables for months and months. You know, I have a private business. I do business with the government. And, you know, you got to beg to get paid. Sometimes it's months and months and months and months before they pay their bills. But there's certain bills that get paid right away. And you ask the question, why is it that there's a difference?
All right. Here's another one for you. Naughty, can you please ask Dr. Sanz, if the FNM is elected and becomes a new government, would they pay gratuity to officers who were fighting for this for years?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, good day, Naughty.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Sanz.
Good afternoon.
Dr. Sanz, I have 3 questions running around in my head, but one I want to ask you to start off with is, once you guys get in, will you answer the questions asked of you of the opposition, rather than treating them with a, I don't know, I can't answer right now, situation? That's the first one.
Let's take this one in turn. Certain constitutional obligations. In the People's House, when a question is asked of Marco City, a question is asked of Cat Island Rumkey in San Salvador, you have an obligation to answer. For somebody to flippantly answer, oh, we can wait until after convention. Well, convention over. And I hope the honorable member for Elizabeth, JoBeth Colby-Davis, now will answer the Bahamian people as to what is going to happen with BPL, whether they're going to privatize it, at what cost, and who's going to benefit. So, yes, we will answer the questions.
Thank you. Second question is, final question is, once you guys get there, things like the Bermuda trip, you know, would you let us know, let the public know, yes, it was paid back by the PLP party, or no, it was, things like that, and with the traveling budget, will you let us know straightforward, or would you dilly-dally and bounce around the question like a ball, like these guys are doing?
Now I want you to screenshot it, write it down on a piece of paper, that we will reveal to the Bahamian public how much Frank Smith got, how much Clayton Fernandez got, how much all of the civil servants that received multi-million dollar payments from the public purse, how much the Bermuda political trip cost the public treasury, and how much was paid back. Bear in mind that we are now almost 2 years and they haven't come clean. And they believe that Bahamian people have forgotten about this. Okay, you go spend our money on a political trip that has no benefit for the people of the Bahamas, against the law. Then you lie about it. Okay, you had the press liaison officer and the office of the prime minister say one thing, the chairman of the PLP say something else, the prime minister say something else. Then you say, well, we promise we can give you a full accounting. They throw a little $20,000 on the bill, and that's the last we've heard of it, right? A year later, we haven't heard anything more. And they believe that the Bahamian people have forgotten. Okay, the devil is a liar. We'll see.
But thank you, Dr. Sad.
We will let you know what happened to your money.
All right, I have another one for you off the text lines, Dr. Sands. Afternoon, Naughty. Great show as usual. I have a question for Dr. Sands. Like you often say, there are two ends of the spectrum that we totally ignore, the young and the old. What plans or bills have the FNM members of Parliament submitted in response to the 87% increase of reported child abuse cases? And if, elected as the government, as far as legislations to correct and protect children moving forward?
So I think that successive governments have not done the best job in this area. And if you ask, have we submitted any bills? No, we haven't. But the protection of women and children in a civil society is paramount. We also need to understand the developmental needs of our special needs children, and we haven't done a particularly good job of investing there either. And so, one of the challenges of our administration is to be certainly more progressive with the kinds of legislative activity that makes a difference in the lives of ordinary Bahamians and that provides real protection for our citizens, especially the most vulnerable. So I think to the caller, I am not going to pay lip service and come up with some nonsense right now, other than to give a commitment that we recognize the need to have legislation with teeth in those areas.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines, Dr. Sands. Talking heads.
Yes, good afternoon, Naughty. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, and good afternoon to Dr. Sands as well. I don't know if this was addressed already, but Dr. Sands, if a Pinhead-led party is successful as the next government, is the National Development Plan on your list of priorities? And second part, how will you involve civil society in the governance of the country? The other day, I would like to see Dr. Sands and Naughty. I'd like to see a people's day, maybe once a quarter. Anybody who wants to question its elected officials, let them come in Parliament and ask their elected officials any questions that they may have. The other day, Mr. Halkidis was asked about how much money was spent on the 50th celebration. If you haven't gotten an answer on that as yet, he gives them hullabaloo. Well, the money went in the Bahamian. That's not the question. Answer the question: how much was spent, Mr. Halkidis? If you spend $50 million, you spend it. It doesn't go on. Let the people know. Yes, we had a good time, whatever it is. But answer the question, man. Thank you. Have a good.
All right. Thanks, Hobby.
So, you know, I had a wonderful phone call with Terry Miller from Bash earlier today, partnering with civil society in, you know, moving this nation forward. And there are persons who don't necessarily wear colors other than aquamarine, gold, and black, that, you know, they want what is best for this country. And for a very long time, unfortunately, we have been focused totally on the partisan. So incorporating civil society in the way forward, incorporating the church, incorporating those people in different sectors that mean well for the welfare of Bahamians, I think we will end up with a far better country than we have now. And if you listened to the leader's speech on Saturday, he was very intentional about making sure that people understood that we realize how important that is. It is so necessary to incorporate civil society when you are thinking about legislation, because you have to think about the impact of everything that you do. It's very simple to say, well, we can write this law, okay? But without their input, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and you may end up creating a far bigger problem than you solve. So, yes, the true consultative input of civil society will be an integral part of the Free National Movement administration led by Michael Pintard moving forward.
Excuse me, got a couple of others for you, Doc. Great show as usual, Naughty. Can you please ask Dr. Sands, if the FNM becomes the next government of the country, will they downsize the public work sector because it's obese?
Now, that's an excellent question. And you know, one of the things that is used as a recurrent talking point, oh, the FNM, if they come to power, they in the hands of the elite and they won't fire all the civil servants. Not true. Basically, we do not believe that the public purse should be used as an employment agency, but that we should provide incentives for the private sector to thrive so that economic growth, which is far more likely to take place on the creativity and the hard work of Bahamians and their entrepreneurial spirit, as opposed to through the bureaucracy and the inefficiency of the public service. And so talking about right-sizing the public service can be done through natural retirement and attrition. You ain't gotta fire nobody, but you prefer that new additions, instead of coming to an already bloated public sector, go to opportunities that arise in the private sector. And small and medium enterprises are the backbone of any economy. And if people are working for themselves, boy, they are willing to go to that extra customer satisfaction, efficiency, and due diligence, because they personally get the benefit from it. Now, you know, the one thing that government has to do is not try and rake them over the coals and take all of their profits and taxes.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hello.
Talking Heads.
Yeah, Naughty.
Hey, what's going on?
Right, I'm on. I have a question for the good doctor. Now, I heard when he answered the gentleman who called about bringing back the permanent secretary. I didn't quite get what he meant. But anyway, I feel when they done week 65, they should go home and they should not come back no more. Because You have the younger person who done been here maybe 30 years, 25 years. They look to move up. And so when you bring the older person and you put on top of that person who looking to get promoted up to permanent secretary, they can't go. And then we wonder why when some of the people come from college with these, they won't come back here because it seems like that was not right. If you're 65, you end up getting the old age pension. Matter of fact, you get two pensions. And now you won't come back and put them on top, on top of the other civil servant who's looking for upward mobility. I think that needs to stop. Some people they bring back, they don't need to. Like you said, the gentleman who rode traffic, I know he well up in 70s. What you bring him back? There's a couple I could call, but I just will use that. I think you need to stop the age to 65 and say what you all mean and do what's supposed to be done. Thank you.
So if we look at a prime example at the Ministry of Immigration, which is a critical ministry in the life of the Bahamas, you have a contracted director of immigration. You have a contracted permanent secretary at the Ministry of Immigration. That is former Ambassador Ellison Greenslade. And so when you ask the question now at that ministry, are there any real civil servants in charge? The answer is no. So at that ministry, there is no possible chance for upward mobility for any career officers. And if you ask, what does that do to ambition? What does it do to drive? What does it do to work ethic, et cetera? If I'm a junior officer, I say, man, I am going to do what is required of me, and that's it. It's 5 o'clock. I am going home. Leave that on the desk till tomorrow because they ain't on my run. They're not the value that I bring to this organization. And so one of the challenges when you talk about how do you stifle the civil service is by doing what this PLP has done. And that is to create not glass ceilings, a steel ceiling on every single ministry to say, all right, all y'all who there, at least while we in power, ain't no chance of any meaningful promotion. We might get a little increment here and a little increment there. But the top jobs, they ain't for y'all. They ain't for y'all. We got this.
All right, I got a couple of the text lines for you, Doc, that I think you can answer kind of rapid fire. Here's a quick one for you. Good afternoon, Norty. Kindly ask Dr. Sands how many of the present and former MPs are declaring their finances as mandated by law. I think everybody from the FNM side is declared, correct?
All FNM members of parliament, senators, and in the lower house have declared. We do not yet know whether all of the Progressive Liberal Party parliamentarians have done so, and that information is not forthcoming from the chairman of the Disclosure Commission or from the Prime Minister, because as far as he's concerned, Bahamians are counts and they don't deserve to know.
Good afternoon, Norty. Can you ask Dr. Sands if the FNM become the government, will they have local government in Nassau also and have the city of Nassau private with local government?
Oh, boy, you know, the questions are coming this afternoon and
Well, actually, unlike some chairman, you actually answer. You understand what I'm saying? And you take phone calls and you answer texts and you respond. So
the model that we have for local government may need to be tweaked some. And the idea of maybe moving to a mayoral, because we still have a situation where central government and executive has an incredible level of control over the function of local government. Eh? And so while it is a step in the right direction in the Family Islands, in New Providence, boy, trying to figure out how you're going to make that work, I don't have a good model right now. And to suggest that the ministers are going to want to free up that power in the short term is a bit of a stretch. So I don't want to give an answer that sounds good. We got to come up with a model that is actually workable, particularly in New Providence, to decentralize spending so that if you want a new toilet seat or a new light bulb, that you got to go all the way to the ministry.
All right, here's another couple of texts for you, Doc. Great show, Naughty. Listening to the show, I feel that Dr. Sands is one of the most accessible and candid politicians today. I just want to thank Doc for taking the time to answer questions. It often feels like an open town hall meeting whenever I hear him on the radio in particular. Keep up the good work, Dr. Sands.
Thank you very much.
Now, here's another one for you. What is Dr. Sands' view of government renting from politically affiliated persons, Ministry of Works, Road Traffic, and now Immigration, and Labor seems to be moving east to east-west highway? Enough is enough.
Well, you know, money got to spend, right? So you have a former chairman, former chairman of BEC, who had some financial challenges and the government had to throw him a blow. And so now we got Tony Williams, Darling Highway, blocked up left, right, and center because, there's a certain road traffic facility in one of his buildings, and it clearly is inadequate for the purpose, right? But he got to make some money. So, we got to be very careful when you're spending public funds to make sure that the public gets value for the money being spent, and that this is just not a favor being done. That if the rent should be $3,000, that they're not paying $5 or $6 or $7 or $8. That the parking is adequate, that the elevators work, that the building is well maintained, and so on and so forth. This is cronyism, and it is a plea under this administration. They can't help themselves, and so they go out and try to find PLP owned buildings to put government agencies. Now, to be truthful, other administrations have done it. But you got to be sure that you're getting value for the Bahamian people's dollars. So, if I need a $2,500 a month building, let me spend $2,500 a month to a vendor that has a $2,500 a month building. Don't let me rent an $800 a month building for $2,500, because I'm just wasting the people's money.
All right, a couple more off the text lines, and I got one more call, and we can wrap it up with you, Doc. But I do really appreciate you going over, man. Good afternoon, Naughty. Mr. Mitchell is living in a dream world. Big words with no substance. He should be ashamed to be a chairman. Dr. Sands is definitely an example of what a chairman should be.
I have expressed disappointment, and I want to spend a little time, if you would permit me.
No problem.
That, you saw the PLP put out a statement after the convention the other night. It was almost as if
I thought it was fake news. I, honest to God, when I saw it, my first question was, is this a joke? Is this fake news?
Exactly. And the chairman should have just said, Yama, right? or something as ridiculous as that, because it was an embarrassment, even for a statement coming from the other side. And I have found the chairman of the PLP, who either he is just getting up in years, or he's on like a little child sometimes, juvenile. And it has been very disappointing, because I expected some real back and forth, a little thrust and parry, a little joisting here, so that, we have a real intellectual exchange on the issues. I did not expect the childish Fred Mitchell that exists now, who is, he never was a Bradley Roberts, never. But he is a caricature now, a joke now. And I think it is time to move on, and I won't charge the PLP for that advice. It's time to move on.
All right, let's get to Naughty. Ask Dr. Sands what's his take. Simon Wilson still being in office. ?
Simon Wilson should either resign or be fired. End of story. I think that what he has demonstrated is that he is unfit for the role, that he has anger management issues. And we saw Belinda Wilson and other people come out and say that they had similar experiences with him. We have a violence problem in this country. And to have the senior most civil servant in the office of the prime minister, in the Ministry of Finance, tell somebody, I can wait outside for you, okay? To do what? Chop him in his head?
Chalkius, maybe show him his abacus. I don't know. Long division.
and then to be defended by no less than the office of the prime minister is unacceptable. At least he should go on a long administrative leave. And then I think it's time to look for early retirement.
Here's one of the text lines. Naughty, I agree with you and Dr. Sands. And you notice that no one signed their name to it. That statement was a pure disgrace. Mr. Mitchell needs to do better or retire. The sentiment is just resonating. All right, let's get to the phone lines real quick. We'll try to grab this one so we can wrap things up with Dr. Sands. Talking Ed.
Hey, now this going on, man.
Hey, what's going on, Gardner? I haven't heard from you in a long time. What? Why, the Southern in the finals now? I'm hearing from you, Gardner.
No, you need to give me that, free number, man, to go. You had me on a whole long time. But anyway, let me ask the critical questions, right? Then how come the FNM is not a critical government? We have no critical parties in this country. All of them are the same. You see, none of them want to bring the... Why are they not promising capital gains tax? Why are they not promising income tax? Why are they against the sale of BPL? Not the workers and this and, you know, transparency industry. Why are they not against the sale of BPL? You understand me? See, we need critical government. You know, we don't even need no critical thinkers. We need critical questions. You know, we need critical colors. Now, we don't need no, praise and worship on this thing, man. We need critical conversation on this radio. You see? You have two shock shows. Only when time for sports, you're all critical. In time of politics, you all ain't critical. All y'all are doing the same thing.
Gardner, hold on now, Gardner. I ain't going to let you go there, all right? There's plenty of critical questions I answered, okay? I know where you just resurfaced from. And like I say, you must have resurfaced because you're Celtics in the finals. Because I ain't heard from you in months. But it's all good. Dr. Sands is going
to... The Free National Movement is opposed to backdoor, underhanded, under-table deals. Secret deals, you know, done in the dark without full transparency. So if you are going to sell off assets to the Bahamian people, did you do it with competitive bidding? Did you invite the Bahamian public to participate? Or did you cut a deal with one or two or three of your friends and say, now, I want you to bid X, Y, and Z, we can accept it. You throw me a little cut, okay? That is what we're opposed to. So if you say that we need to be able to sell BPL, then let's do it in the sunshine. Let's open it up. Put out the RFP. Say this is what we're trying to do. And let everybody bid on it. May the best man or woman or group win. Okay? But that's not what this administration is doing. What they are doing is they are lying to the public that, oh, well, you know, we really ain't selling it, you know. We just trying to make it a little bit better, right? Do it in the sunshine. Do it in the open. Let the public see what kind of deal you're cutting and who you're cutting the deal with.
These texts are really getting to me. This is getting crazy. Now, Dr. Sands, listen, great show. Thanks for answering. But you know you're about to be on that next Fred Mitchell voice note. He's probably recording it right now. Listen, Dexter, nobody with sense is listening to them anyway, so Doc's safe.
You know, I'm sure he's going to come with some nonsense tomorrow morning, 3 o'clock.
Okay? 3:05.
I have no problem whatsoever.
All right.
But you know, in credibility. They want reason and all of the antics. You know, while you may think it sounds good and the rude, crass, boorish language, they on that run. They're not on that run.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hi, how you doing, Audie?
Hey, what's going on?
This is Hey, Dr. Science.
Hey, what's up, Tadar?
Hey, what's happening? How are you?
So I'm well, thanks. So I remember 10 years ago when I asked Dr. Minnis about the opposition disclosing, he had this to say.
You as the leader of the opposition aware that we want to take action regarding failure of MPs and senators to disclose. What is your response about this?
I would be more than happy if you locked them up, whoever disclosed. I can tell you that the opposition has disclosed. You would do me a great favor. You and the Bohemian public. Set an example. Man, force them to disclose, and the police should lock them up. That's the trouble.
So based on that, I don't want to just take your word for it. So I guess the people have to submit a letter again to the Disclosure Commission to find out which MPs and senators are in compliance. But the tricky part is the law says that only the Prime Minister and Leader of the Opposition have any jurisdiction or rights to publish in the House of Assembly any information that the Commissioner yields. And then they also can publish it in the Senate. And then most importantly, the Member of Parliament, well, the Leader of the Opposition particularly, has the authority to furnish any of that information to the Commissioner of Police and the Attorney General. My question is, can we ask the Leader of the Opposition to investigate with the Chairman of the Public Disclosure Commission, which all members of Parliament from both sides have disclosed and have not, and senators, and make that information public and be furnished to the Commissioner of Police?
So, Tada, get asked the question. The opposition chairs the most powerful committee of the People's House. That is the Public Accounts Committee. The executive of the Progressive Liberal Party, the New Day government, has decided to block the work of the Public Accounts Committee because they do not believe that the people are entitled to know information about how their finances are spent. Similarly, I can say with a fairly high degree of certainty that the information that you just asked about has not been made available to the Leader of the Opposition. As a matter of fact, if you listen to the chairman of the Disclosure Commission, he kind of hemmed and hawed and, I ain't sure, and blah, 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 blah. And so he is acting very much as a partisan, believing that the public do not have a right to know. But I will tell you that I believe if that information has been made available to the Leader of the Opposition, to Michael Pintard, he would have no problem, certainly in a presentation in the House of Assembly.
All right, let's get this last call and we can, start wrapping things up with Dr. Sands. Talking Heads.
Yes, good day, Naughty. How you doing, Dr. Sands?
Good afternoon, sir.
What's happening, bro?
I'm good. I heard you said something about the government blocking the PAC committee from doing its job. That don't make no sense when you're talking about, is that legal or is that illegal to do? And if it's illegal to
let me flesh that out. The Attorney General has told permanent secretaries and other government officials that they are not to provide the documents called for, the people and papers called for by the Public Accounts Committee.
Okay, you just said that they're blaming people, that the government pulled people who are responsible for doing so. That means then agencies are under, or they're telling people not to work according to the opposition of the people, opposition. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
I am saying that the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Ryan Pinder, has explicitly and specifically refused to allow, with the complicity of the Speaker of the House, the work of the Public Accounts Committee to go on unfettered.
Is that legal or illegal?
I don't believe it's legal, nor do I believe it's constitutional.
The AG has actually ordered permanent secretaries to not cooperate, all right?
Wow.
To cooperate, all right?
So that's what I'm saying. That's
and I think it's disgraceful.
In a democracy. Now, my last point is, not in the definite of a rodeo. I think you've had how much terms in Parliament? You've shot it with one term, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So it means you're seasoned. So what if we as the Bahamian voters just decide not to put a PLP or FNM in power, just so we could put new people in power to kind of investigate you, PLP and FNM at the end of the day?
I mean, I think that the people have the right to do as they choose.
Mm-hmm.
However, let's be very clear that the two-party system has continued to thrive in the Bahamas, as it has in most countries. And, you know, the best showing in recent memories was the Democratic National Alliance. The Bernard Nottage led a third party called the CDR, I believe it was. We have had a number of third parties. The one that is out there right now is the Coalition of Independence. And, you know, in a democracy, I believe that is healthy. But the general...
So My last point then. What is your take on your personal views, I guess, outside the party, because your leader is a man. What is your take on a female prime minister in the country? I guess Mark can listen.
The Free National Movement at its recent convention elected 37% of its officers as women. Okay, 37% of the elected party officers were women. Now, you may say that that's not enough. At the level of deputy chair, Chanel Ferguson, at the level of deputy secretary, deputy treasurers, so on and so forth. Now, in the top four positions, leader, deputy leader, chairman, secretary general, all men. And, you know, I think that we should aspire to populate our ranks with more women and more young people. But certainly 37% is pretty healthy.
Arnie.
So, you know, whether or not we get to the point where a woman becomes prime minister in the next 5 or 10 or 15 years, I would applaud that. And I would encourage women to get involved in frontline politics.
Here's another one off the text lines, Doc, for you. Naughty, can you please ask your guest, great shows, can you please ask your guest, Dr. Sands, will we see more women actively in this new FNM administration? And can the public expect to see more from Mrs. Komolafi? I always enjoy hearing her on your show with MJ. And, of course, she came out and endorsed Mr. Pintard. Will we see more of her in the future with the FNM?
Yes, you will. And she has been a powerful voice. If you read her editorial in today, or her letter to the or op-ed in, I think it was The Guardian this morning, it was powerful. It was pointed. It hit right where it needed to hit, and she is already making waves on behalf of unstoppable change. I think we recognize that we are indeed stronger together. That this is not about just the leader or just about the deputy or the chairman. That we need a broad front of powerful voices. Who are interested in moving this Bahamas forward, not just for this season, but all kinds of cataclysmic, disruptive change that we had in 67 and that we had in 92. We're due for another peaceful revolution now. And when we talk about unstoppable change, Michael Pintard and his administration aims not just to break up the status quo, but to bring transformational, some would say transfigurational change to this country.
Naughty, can you please ask Dr. Sands, if the FNM is reinstated as the government, will they appoint an ombudsman and give him or her real power to investigate politicians and their malfeasance? Also, what is the FNM's position on the ability to recall an MP if needed, considering we have any, do we have any checks and balances on MPs? I am a young voter, so I guess it's from a young person.
Second part of the question. First, you know, we campaigned on recall in 2017. We did not deliver. You know, we have just appointed a chairman of our platform committee today. not going to be named as yet, but you will get to see the types of things that we are going to commit to that we believe should be a covenant. That you don't just like in the blueprint for pain, I mean the blueprint for change, write stuff down on a piece of paper that you have no desire, interest, or plan to execute. The blueprint for change is a useless, worthless piece of paper. It ain't worth the paper it is printed on because they have done precious little of what they committed to. And that, in the first 100 days, we can reduce the cost of electricity. In the first 100 days, we can do this. They have done none of that. So when you make a promise, you ought to have studied it. You ought to have determined whether it's feasible. Do it. So as for the ombudsman, this administration talks about an ombudsman, but we don't see the line item or the allocation for the office of the ombudsman in this budget. So they can't be serious. Put your money where your mouth is.
All right,
a lot of money for consultants, none for an ombudsman or real freedom of information.
Hi, Naughty and Dr. Sands. Excellent show. Congratulations to Dr. Sands on his re-election. Keep up the good work and continue to keep the government's feet to the fire. This government doesn't care what we complain about. They don't give any answers. We don't know how much of our money was paid to the chief of police and others, and the list goes on. Please continue to agitate for answers for the people and continue to answer questions when you become the next government.
Thank you very much. I think it's a level of disrespect when you say to the public that you don't have the right to know or that you are not bright enough, smart enough, reasonable enough to know how your money is being spent. That is some dumbness. That is absolute dumbness.
All right. Listen, Dr. Sands, we got it. Listen, Freeport has texted in our show. Drew Burrows and the crew out of Freeport, they say you're doing an excellent job. It's great to work with you. You did a wonderful job at the convention. Keep up the good work. So obviously you got Freeport, you know, on your side as well.
I want to give a shout out to some of the men and women who live in Grand Bahama. They are incredible. They were phenomenal assets in getting our message out. And I look forward to working with them as we move towards the general election. Drew, in particular, and some of the others, I think, you know, Kendall, I could call names and get myself in trouble. You know, they have demonstrated that they've got a real commitment for unstoppable change in this country. That's something that they believe in. And every day they work tirelessly to get the message out.
All right, Dr. Sands, I appreciate you. Listen, we got to get to the break. So, Mr. Producer, we go into the break and then to the news? All right, no problem. So, Dr. Sands, I want to thank you, man. Again, another candid interview. I appreciate you being so candid, being so honest. I think the Texans and the callers have definitely shared the same sentiment. So, please don't stop when we talk to you next month, okay?
Thank you very much, Naughty, and I appreciate the invitation. God bless you all. Take care.
And thank you so much. Congratulations again. And I appreciate you going overtime with me again today, too. That means a lot. And I think the public has taken to that as well, too. So enjoy your day. Enjoy your time. Enjoy your victory. We'll talk soon. Everybody who chimed in, texted in, called in, appreciate you. Great show today. Straight fire. Pearly's in tomorrow. All right. He'll have a great show lined up for you. Holiday on Friday. And I'll see you back on Monday right here on Talking Heads. Roscoe Thompson will be chiming in. Then Tuesday is the Grand Bahama Report. And Wednesday, MJ and I'll be doing it. I agree to each and every Wednesday. Probably will be back on Thursday. And then next Friday, the week in review. So it's all going down, all coming down. All you got to do is keep it right where you got it. Hottest talk show from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, bar none. Talking Heads. We'll do it again tomorrow right here. Pearly will be in the chair. We'll see you. Enjoy your holiday. Talk to you Monday, Bahamas.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone...
Flavored Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Flavored Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind.
find the noise in the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So when you play,
play Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles, with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Are you tired of the hustle and bustle of city life, yearning for a relaxing getaway without the headaches of international travel? Well, we've got just the thing for you. Escape to paradise without leaving home with our limited time to fly free offer for Bahamas residents. Whether you're craving adventure, seeking to reconnect with your roots, or simply yearning to unwind in secluded shores, the Family Islands has something for everyone. But you better act fast, because this include fly free offer is only available until June 30th. Don't let this opportunity slip away. So why wait? Book your trip today. Escape the ordinary, discover the extraordinary, and experience the magic of the Family Islands. Visit BahamasResidents.com for more information and start planning your ultimate island getaway today.
Ignite your leadership capabilities, expand your vision, and chart the path to a bright future at the CIBC Caribbean Ignite Leadership Conference, 27th of June at Bahamar, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Join Sarah Kunst, a venerated entrepreneur who has worked at Apple and Red Bull. Sarah is a Forbes 30 Under 30 Future Innovator and has been honored by the Wall Street Journal of the Leadership Journey of Anthony Ferguson and Crystal Rutherford Ferguson. This event is designed for senior business executives and seasoned entrepreneurs. Yours. Register at CIBCFCIB.com/ignite to secure your space. Only successful registrants will be acknowledged. Join us for the Ignite Leadership Conference, June 27th at Bahamar.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetza Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday.